You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Holidays like Thanksgiving are an opportunity to bring out special recipes and foods unique to the season. And although here in Wisconsin, cheese is celebrated year-round, there are some seasonal cheeses special to this time of year. Lake Effect contributor Jeanette Hurt joins Audrey Nowakowski to share some of her favorite cheeses and drinks to include on your Thanksgiving table.
My first recommendation for the holidays is Rush Creek Reserve by Uplands. Now, Uplands makes Pleasant Ridge Reserve, which is, by my last count, the most award-winning cheese in the world. It has won numerous awards. It's the only cheese to ever win twice at the American Cheese Society's Best of Show. But their Rush Creek Reserve is a little bit different, and they only make two seasons of cheeses and two types of cheeses. Pleasant Ridge is made when their cows are completely on pasture. That means they're not on any silage. Now, Rush Creek, however, is when they're off pasture, but what's unique about the milk at this time is it's really rich and creamy and luscious, and they make Rush Creek Reserve, which is it's a washed rind cheese, which means it's slightly stinky, but it reminds me of a more luscious Taleggio or / Brie.
So it's like a soft cheese in the middle.
Yes. And it's got this lovely soft rind, cut the top off and you can dig a spoon into it, the little rounds of it. It's not like Brie in that it's a bloomy rind. It's a washed rind, which means they put a bacterial sort of spread on the outside to age it and give it flavoring. But it's made with the same care as Pleasant Ridge Reserve. And it basically is released right around this time of year until it's sold out. And then you can't get it for another year. And I still remember one previous holiday, I think it was one of the first years it was out, and I had some leftover from an event and my dad had come over. My dad ate the whole thing. So it's really one of those crowd pleasers, and it's just a lovely, interesting seasonal cheese.
Well, and that's something we don't usually enjoy with cheeses, is something seasonal, you know, to a great extent as we do with like other products.
Well, I think there is a seasonality to cheese, or there used to be, certainly, especially when cows were on pasture or off pasture, goats were milking or not milking. And now people can do things like with goats, they can milk them year round because they trick them with lights and things. But there used to definitely be more a seasonality of things. And I think that's something we forget. I think the other thing people should be looking for is the extra age cheeses at Hook's. We're talking 15 or 20 year old cheddar. And these are usually very expensive cheddars and they really crumble a lot. I still remember the first time I tasted their 15 year age cheddar and a big, large crumble fell on the floor. And my then terrier hound mix, Olivia, snarfed it up, and I'm like, oh, she just ate a $5 crumble of cheese, because it's something like $50 a pound. It's really expensive, but really worth it.
Well, and to go back to more softer cheeses, for blue cheese, you know, it's the common thing for recipe or just to have plain, but there's a type of cheese you recommended called You Calf to Be Kidding Me.
Yes. And that's by Hook's, and I think it's one of the best named cheeses in the world because it's You Calf to Be Kidding Me. And it is a sheep, goat, and cow mixed milk cheese, also made by Hook's. And it's just phenomenal, and it's fun. And I love serving cheeses that are fun. Other fun named blue cheeses, Car Valley does, I think, a Ba Ba Blue, which is, of course, and I think they might do a Billy Blue, and just some interesting, fun named blue cheeses. Wisconsin, actually, by my count, makes more blue cheese than any place else in the country. So we know how to make it well. And lots of our cheesemakers make blue cheeses, or there are some cheeses. Raleigh makes a Red Rock, which is a cheddar with blue cheese veins in it, and that's also quite yummy. There's a lot of interesting blues, and blue cheese, I think, goes really well with a holiday that's coming up, especially if you make a beautiful salad with cranberries and greens and a lovely maple vinaigrette, and then just crumble some blue cheese and maybe some sugared nuts on top, and you'd have this really gorgeous salad. But another use for cooking with blue cheese I discovered from my good friend Beck, and she calls it Beck's Crack Dip. And basically it is cream cheese, blue cheese, she recommends Gorgonzola, but I would say use any Wisconsin blue, bacon, and green onions and apricot preserves. And you just kind of mix it all together. And she says you can add more blue cheese if that's what you want. You can add more bacon, but just start with a little bit of each and mix it together. And it's absolutely addictive.
I suppose we're also going to continue our soft cheese kick and talk about mascarpone cheese a bit. Now, usually I just associate this with recipes. Like if I have mascarpone cheese, it's usually directly for a recipe. And one thing you talk about a bit in your book that we previously discussed, Wisconsin Cocktails, is including mascarpone cheese in a traditional Wisconsin drink that is very fitting for the holidays right now, Tom and Jerry's, also known as Wisconsin's eggnog.
Yes. And that, it just adds an incredible richness. Mascarpone cheese is just this wonderful, luscious thing. Like you talked about, it's often in recipes, tiramisu, sometimes dips, sometimes in cakes or fillings or pies or anything that you need something creamy and over the top. And that's exactly what it does to Tom and Jerry. Not that a plain Tom and Jerry isn't over the top. And for people who don't exactly know what a Tom and Jerry is, it's like warm eggnog, but I'm not talking about taking, you know, a supermarket container of eggnog with flavorings. I'm talking about you make an actual batter of egg whites and egg yolks and, of course, spices. And different recipes call for nutmeg or cinnamon or cloves or vanilla or different combinations. And some of them include brandy in the batter or rum in the batter. And a traditional Tom and Jerry, it hails originally from the Northeast. That's where the drink originated in the 1800s. And of course it spread to Wisconsin. And I want to say around between 1900 and 1920, it sort of disappeared from the rest of the country. But like everything in Wisconsin, once we like something, it stays here.
Exactly.
And, you know, in researching my book, I remember coming across these newspaper articles from out east saying, oh, the Tom and Jerry is dead. Well, it never died here. And then in modern stories about the Tom and Jerry, oh, this hipster bar in Brooklyn is reviving the Tom and Jerry. Well, it never died here, so it never had to be revived. And there are so many wonderful taverns, bars, supper clubs, restaurants that do their own thing. And usually these are very special recipes. And it was interesting to me, in researching my book, some of my favorite stories. One was in the 1940s, one year, one German restaurant had their recipe published in the food section of a Milwaukee newspaper. And then the next year, another German restaurant had to have their recipe published in the same newspaper's food section. And I thought that was kind of cute because there's a little rivalry going on. Though my absolute favorite story about the Tom and Jerry was during Prohibition, there was this bar called Doc's Saloon. And it was, I think, on Clybourne Street here in Milwaukee. And the feds raided the bar. And everybody, of course, ran out the back door. And the feds discovered a steaming bowl of Tom and Jerry on the back bar. And I thought that was so fitting. And that This is also another interesting thing. Here in Wisconsin, you can go pretty much to any grocery store or liquor store, and they will have batter that's frozen pre-made. So you can just heat up some water, heat up some milk, lightly heat up your booze. You really don't want to heat it up too much because it'll lose the alcohol, or you will cause an explosion in your kitchen, which is also something you do not want to do. But then just throw the batter in.
So I will, I guess, maybe shamefully admit, I've not had Tom and Jerry's as a Wisconsinite yet, but I have noticed these batters, you know, whether they're in grocery stores or elsewhere seasonally. Do batters that you can get in the store stand up to taking the time to separate the eggs, whip the eggs, add all the ingredients together yourself at home?
It doesn't taste quite as good to my taste buds. I've tried them. They're okay, but they are not my favorite. Also, a funny story in my book, I interviewed this guy who, he was taking a cocktail making class at the Palomino, and he said, yeah, when I was in college, I used to work for this grocery store in the bakery department, and he said, I got sick of the smell of Tom and Jerry batter by the end, because he said, we made gallons upon gallons of this. So if you're going to go buy batter, go someplace where they actually make it fresh in-house. That would be my second choice after homemade. And if you are going to buy a pre-made batter, it's kind of like if you're using a jarred can of spaghetti sauce. You know how you might add a little bit more spice or throw in a little wine or something. Do the same with your batter. Throw in a little bit of vanilla. Throw in a little bit of your favorite brandy. Jazz it up a little bit and it will probably taste better. But if you have the time, and I think some people are experimenting more in the kitchen, we've seen enough about sourdough breads and Dalgona coffee. Well, maybe this is the year you should try to make your own Tom and Jerry. And I have several recipes in my book. Probably, like I said, one of my absolute favorite is the addition of the cheese in the batter. It just adds a little extra oomph, which, you know, I think we do need more oomph right now.
Yeah, we need to make the things we're making a little special in some way.
I think so. And I think that leads into something else we were going to talk about.
Yes. So we've talked about old fashions. You know, most Wisconsinites agree it's the best drink, but I guess I can't speak for everyone. But Soul Boxer is a local company that makes pre-mixed, ready, simply pour and drink old fashioned mix. They also do Manhattans. And old fashions are with brandy and bourbon, for those who like bourbon old fashions. But they recently came out with old fashioned infused Door County cocktail cherries.
They are probably one of my absolute favorite new finds this year. And I thought I knew all of the local cherries on the market. They're made with real Door County cherries to start with. And I think anyone in Wisconsin knows Door County cherries are the absolute best cherries on the planet. So they start with fresh grown local Door County cherries, and then they infuse it with their Soul Boxer brandy old fashioned. So not, I've tried my own homemade brandy infused Door County cherries, which are good, but they take planning and time. And I never ever thought, well, why don't you infuse it with the whole cocktail? So if you're making your brandy old fashions, or if you want to garnish your Tom and Jerry's, not that most common Tom and Jerry's are garnished with, you know, a cherry, but why not? It's Wisconsin. You can do that. These cherries are delicious and wonderful. And if you're throwing together a little gift basket for someone, you could throw in a bottle of Soul Boxer. You could throw in the cherries with other locally made brandies or bourbon. And we have three distilleries in town that make wonderful liquors. You've got Great Lakes, you've got Central Standard, and you've got Twisted Path, and they all make wonderful products. You could throw a little gift basket together and you could ship. And I think that's the other thing, because it is harder to ship alcohol. I know you can ship it through UPS and FedEx easier than you can in the post office, but you could ship these Door County Soul Boxer infused brandy cherries to your friends and relatives who are out of state.
Well, Jeanette, thanks for joining us to give us some ideas on, you know, how to make our recipes and things that we enjoy this holiday season a little more special.
You're quite welcome, Audrey, and everybody else out there. Have a wonderful holiday season and stay safe and healthy.
Lake Effect contributor Jeanette Hurt is a freelance writer in Milwaukee and author of several books on cheese and drinks, including her latest called Wisconsin Cocktails. You can listen back to our previous conversations with her at WUWM.com.